So we are going to cover a lot of material today. I'm not going to read the book for you. So if you're not quote unquote being trained official for the prayer ministry team, I'm going to encourage you to get the book anyway and to read through it, because Global Awakening has extensive experience in praying for healing and deliverance. And so they have studied this. They've studied scripture. They've studied the move of Holy Spirit. They've studied how he works with them and in partnership. They've practiced and they've failed and they've done different things and they've learned stuff. And they put it all in really great, simple steps to follow. It's the Ministry Team Training Manual of Global Awakening, Randy Clark's ministry, and I like it a lot. So we are in chapter 6 today. We're going to go through chapter 6, 7, and 8, technically. So we're going to start with the 5-step prayer model. Now, as Jay mentioned, there are several scriptures about healing and how that was central to Jesus' ministry. Some of my favorites, Matthew 10, it says it on 53, this is one of my favorites, Matthew 10, 1, 5, 7, and 8. And when he had called his 12 disciples to him, he gave them power over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease. These 12 Jesus sent out and commanded them, saying, as you go, preach. As you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you've received, so freely give. And I like that he didn't say, pray so that maybe I will, or pray that my father will. He actually gave the command, heal the sick. Go do what's impossible for you to do by yourself. but he said it. Heal the sick. Cleanse the lepers. Raise the dead. Okay, thank. Okay, I'll just go. And do it. Yeah. Freely you've received, so freely give. So I love that he says it. You already have it. It's there. So just do it. And then in Luke 10, after these things, the Lord appointed 70 others also, and he sent them two by two before his face into every city and place where he himself was about to go. And he said to them, and heal the sick who are there, and say to them, the kingdom of heaven has come near you. And the next one, Mark 16, 15 through 18. And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. I like that he said creature too. I think you can heal dogs and animals and pets too, by the way. Just so you know, I'm telling you, I'm a little crazy like that, but it works. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. He who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe in my name. They will cast out demons, they will speak with new tongues, they will take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. I do think it's particular about laying on of hands, because God can do it without you touching people, but we also know that proximity prayer has proven to be statistically more likely for the healing to come. I don't know how else to say it that way, but we have seen that, and they've actually studied that. So first thing that he's going to cover here, I think there's great information. Again, I can't go over every little bit, but I'm going to highlight the stuff I think is important. Number one, get yourself cleaned up, healed up, ready to go. Okay, so prepare yourself when you know you're going to minister. Now, I think this is supposed to be lifestyle. I think this is every day as you go, wherever you go. This should be a lifestyle, not just, oh, hey, I think I'm going to go do some treasure hunting on Saturday at 2 o'clock, right? Like, that's good, but this is supposed to be lifestyle. This is supposed to be who we are as we go. But it is important, especially when it comes to altar team prayer ministry, specific prayer, when you know that you're going after something, I really think it's important for you to prepare your heart to be a minister and a vessel of the Lord. So be prayed up. God's the healer, not you. Take a moment and ask the Holy Spirit if there's anyone you need to forgive, if there's any unconfessed sin that you have, that he would give you his love for that person, to recognize that healing will happen and take many different routes, if you will. It can be instantaneous or over time. It's our job to pray. God is responsible for what happens or doesn't. And be flexible. That's always a good one in ministry. So here's the basic 5-step prayer model. This is not law. This is just a model that is a really good model. So number one is the interview. Whenever you're about to pray for someone, you want to ask them what's going on. Number two is the prayer selection. What that means is you're going to decide how to pray or what to pray about. Do you pray much more command? Is it an asking prayer? We'll go through this in just a minute. And then the actual prayer is step three. So this is the time you actually pray about whatever the issue is. And step four is to stop and re-interview, find out what's happening. Can they do what they couldn't have done before? You know, what's the level of pain? That kind of a thing. And then number five is any post-prayer suggestions. That is not advice giving or counsel. What that really means is, how do we bless that person? Okay, it may be that we encourage that person, especially if nothing has happened, to encourage that person, God heals over time, or you might have a testimony to share or a scripture to keep them encouraged, okay? That's what that means. And you might have to repeat number three and four a few times too, right? So it's not just one, two, three, four, five, we're done. Sometimes you'll go back and we'll repeat, and so we'll talk about that. So step one, the interview. Briefly interview the person requesting the prayer. You want to be attentive. You want to pay attention to what they're saying. There are sometimes I hear specific words or things that people will say, and if you're not really paying attention, you won't catch it. Okay, so ask them what the need is. Real simple and brief. That's why I like this model. This is, you know, five-year-olds can do it, I promise. What's your name? What would you like prayer for? How long have you had this condition? That's a really good question to ask. Do you know what the cause is? We're interviewing to figure out how we're going to pray. Okay, look ahead to step two to select the prayer, but we're trying to figure out what the issue is. Have you seen a doctor about it? What does the doctor say? Do you remember what was happening in your life around the time when this thing happened? Because we know sometimes accidents or trauma can be triggering things that are, you know, stuff that our body will take on when we emotionally or psychologically don't handle some things. Stress, quote unquote, what's that? Stress causes 80% of most illness, I think. So, did anything traumatic happen about the time of your condition? You know, those kinds of things, because it will help you decide how you're going to pray. For example, if there was an accident, okay, that, you know, there's a natural cause or something like that, well, have you forgiven the person, you know, who caused the accident? So there might be some other things in the interview that you're going to want to get to know, that kind of information to know how you're going to ask. Was he born with a condition? Maybe this was stirred up by emotional stress, those kinds of things. And so if they give you extra information, great. Some people will tell you or want to tell you their whole life story. And so you're just going to have to be very gentle and say, what physically, is there any physical things that you want me to pray about? Or if there's, like, if it was gone right now, how would you know? Like, what is it that you're asking me to pray for? Now, remember, our focus is healing right now, but it could be an emotional thing too. But we have to remind them that this isn't a counseling time of prayer. This is a specific time. If you need more time to go into that, that's another time, another form of ministry, okay? Inner healing stuff. Not that he can't do inner healing here, but this is for a brief ministry time. So, step two, this is how you're going to decide to pray. And I like how they explain this. One, a petition prayer is a request. It's a request to heal addressed to God, Jesus, or the Holy Spirit. So here's some examples. Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask you to restore sight to this eye. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus, come and straighten the spine. Father, release your power to heal in Jim's body. Come, Holy Spirit, release your power. Touch Jim's back in Jesus' name. A command would be to address the condition, okay? So the petition prayer is to God, right? And the command is, I'm going to speak to the disease, or I'm going to speak to the part of body or whatever the spirit is that I'm casting out. Does that make sense? Okay? So instead, I might tell the tumor to shrivel up and dissolve in the name of Jesus. I might tell the spine to be straight in the name of Jesus. I might tell every afflicting spirit to get out of Jim's body in the name of Jesus. Or I command all pain and swelling to leave this ankle now in the name of Jesus. Do you understand? So now, either one, okay? So however you feel led to pray, that's appropriate. Sometimes, well, it says right here, a command is appropriate as your initial step unless you're led otherwise by the Holy Spirit. Now, we'll get into words of knowledge. That would be something else. When petition prayers have been tried and progress has stopped, then you might go to the command. I will sometimes do both, to be honest. I'll just do both. So you just decide how you're going to pray. Don't pray like somebody else. Pray like you pray. Okay? Be you. okay? Don't pretend to be Mr. Healer, Minister so-and-so, or whatever, right? Like, you don't have to get louder. The enemy's not deaf. Like I understand when we get excited or there's energy there, sometimes we get louder as we pray or our bolder prayer. Sometimes our volume does go up. I'm not saying that you can't be loud. I'm just saying that's not usually necessary, really, okay? And we certainly don't want to freak out the person that we're praying over. Remember, we want to be very honoring. We want to have lots of integrity as we pray. And you have no idea where that person has come from in front of if you don't know them, okay? So this might be their brand new thing. They may not even be a believer. For all we know, we don't know, okay? So this may be the very thing that can introduce them to the Lord. Who knows? So just keep that in mind as you pray. And remember to pray with your eyes open so you can see what's going on, okay? So that's part three. Step three is the prayer ministry time. So I pray out loud so that the person can hear me. Now, you might sometimes pray silently while you're standing there. And sometimes I'll tell people, while my hand is on your shoulder, I'm still praying. If my hand is still touching you on your shoulder here, I'm still praying, but I'm listening for the Holy Spirit. So first I'll pray. I'll tell the pain in the shoulder to leave or whatever it is. And then I'm waiting on the Lord. I'm going to wait for a few seconds. Okay? Now, I'm still praying silently. I think if I'm still touching the person, that's prayer. Now, I could be silently praying or whatever or asking the Lord for something. I might be getting information, right? So I'm just trying to look and listen for Holy Spirit during that time. So it's okay to be quiet. That's all I'm saying. It's okay to wait on the Lord. In fact, I think it's important to. You want to ask the person who's receiving the prayer. Sometimes people move right into praying with you, you know, or sometimes they've been taught to pray in the Spirit with you, or I receive it in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus', and they're just saying that over and over again, or whatever it is. I receive it. I receive my healing by faith. They're praying alongside with you or whatever, right? I will often tell them, I love that you're praying, but right now I want you to receive. I want you to receive it. So don't say anything. We don't have, you know, let me do the praying. I just want you to focus on receiving because I need to know if you notice anything different. I need you to pay attention to your body so that you can tell me if you notice anything. Okay, so that I give them a job to do basically, okay, so that they can receive and then they can pay attention to what's going on in their body and just let them know to relax. And again, be very gentle and loving. I love this little suggestion in here to say something like, I know this means a lot to you and you've probably prayed a lot about this condition right now. I just need you to focus on your body. Just be really gentle, okay, with them. Just help them to kind of relax. Let me know if there's anything happening in your body. Sometimes, but not always, people might feel heat or tingling or electricity or cooling, or there's just kind of a change or in the pain or even the location. If the pain moves a little bit, I need to know that too. So let's wait on the Lord, and I just want you to pay attention and let me know what's going on. So just let me pray. So sometimes it's harder, you know, for them to focus if they do that. Now, a person might have a hard time not doing that, and if you've already asked them to, don't keep pounding them about it. Like, just let it go and get over it. You know, some people just, they can't not do that. So that's okay. We'll just kind of have grace for them. And then continue to wait. Now, if people can be healed without feeling anything, right? Like in the sense of a manifestation of some kind. But it certainly does build faith. And certainly for me, the prayer person, if I know there is something happening that was not happening before. Okay. So that's why you want to ask. That's part of the re-interview process. Oh, I'm jumping ahead. Am I? I'm jumping ahead. Sorry. Yeah, no, I'm right. Okay. So it says just, you cannot thank Jesus too much if something is happening. I always like to ask, what was the pain before, before I start praying? On a scale of 0 to 10, and 10 is really high, 0 is no pain at all, like, tell me where you are now, you know, and then I'll pray, and then I'll ask again. So tell me, is the pain any different? Do you notice any different? If there is any movement at all, then something's happening. Okay, so we're going to go, thank you, God. You cannot thank Jesus enough. More, Lord. I bless what you're doing, Holy Spirit. Increase it and accelerate it. Let's keep going after it because something's happening, right? And now we're excited because the pain moved. Do y'all get that? Like, that's exciting. That pain decreased. So now we know, something's happening. So that's exciting. Now, I'm not going to get into that. Okay, so sometimes there's blocks to healing. they put that right in this section. We're going to talk about that at the end, but I'll just go ahead and mention it now, that a lot of times if nothing is happening at all, like there's been no movement or whatever, then sometimes I'll say, okay, well, let's just pray again. It's okay. Even Jesus prayed twice for the blind guy. Remember, you know, he's like, what do you see? I see tall trees walking around like shadows or whatever, or shadows like tall trees, right? Even Jesus prayed twice. That's really important, y'all. Okay, so but if even after a second prayer there's really nothing, I very gently ask. Now, sometimes unforgiveness and bitterness can be a hindrance to healing. And so if I ask you, is there anyone that you need to forgive? Does anyone come to mind? There's no blame here. I don't need to know the story. But is there anyone that you feel like you need to forgive? Now, a lot of the time, they'll say yes. I think most of us have people we need to forgive. But a lot of the times, they'll say yes. And then I'll say, are you willing to pray, God, I choose to forgive today. Help me to forgive. Like, I know it's not easy to forgive, and it's not necessarily going to go away all right this minute, because I know inner healing, you know, sometimes takes time. But we do know that unforgiveness and bitterness can sometimes block healing. So are you willing to at least say, God, I choose today with my free will to forgive this person. Help me to forgive. I've not had but maybe one or two people tell me they're not willing. And I said, well, I can pray for you one more time, but it's possible. I don't know for sure, but it's possible that this is a block to your healing. That's just the truth. It could be, but I don't know if it is. That's why I'm very careful to not blame it on something, though, too, right? So we just, because you don't know. But it could be, especially if they're not willing. But I am careful to say I don't know if it is, but it could be. And are you willing? Because you have free will choice. And so most people will. Sometimes they can't think of anybody, so then I'll ask, do you need to forgive yourself for anything? Do you need to forgive God for anything? Sometimes that will stir up one or two things, right? So if there's just anything that God prompts you in that regard, asking them to forgive that person, especially if there was something in the interview process, like I was just mentioning, like an accident or whatever it was, or a divorce had happened, or something where you can kind of see, I wonder if trauma kind of opened a door, you know, on some level where the enemy was able to come in and kind of really attack. And so we want to be able to pray about that and pray, you know, to cleanse that or to forgive that. Or a lot of times I'll say something similar. God, I ask you to heal this trauma and everything that entered in this trauma, any familiar spirit that came in and associated with this, or any effects of the trauma, you know, that if there's anything tied to any of that stuff, that you would heal that and remove all of that today in Jesus' name. And so trauma is a huge deal. There's a whole lot to go into that when it comes to inner healing. But as in our example for physical healing, it is important for us to think about. That is the number one thing I go to if nothing happens. I'm always going to ask about forgiveness. I'm just telling you, and I've seen it where the minute the tears come or the minute they're able to pray, I don't even have to pray again. I go, now, how's your arm now? And a lot of times it's healed. And then sometimes if there's nothing, then, well, let's pray now, okay? Now, because the enemy no longer has a right? So then I'm going to go ahead and pray and to do that. So it's important to pray short prayers, pray those brief commands. They give you lots of great examples. They even give you some scripture examples, you know, in there. Sometimes a longer prayer can take place. It really just depends on your opportunity for ministry, right? And to be able to really soak somebody. Sometimes, like, if there's a healing night or something that we might have and you've got, you know, a good hour or something that you could sit with somebody and just continue to pray and you lay hands on you, just continue to pray and go after some things. And you might have an opportunity to ask more questions or to release blessing or whatever, right? And so so you might have more time. Generally speaking, up here in the altar after church, you have maybe 30 minutes at the most, right? I mean, so just think about that. He says in here several times, be persistent. If you try one kind of prayer and it doesn't work, then try another kind, you know? I think of it like, you know, you have the keys to the kingdom, and it's like a janitor's key, and it's got like 1,000 keys in this little keychain of yours. And if that key doesn't work, then I'm going to try another one, then I'm going to try the next one, and then I'm going to try the next one. And sometimes you can do that, and it depends on some level the setting and also the person that you're ministering to, right? Like we don't, sometimes it can get exhaustive, right? So you want to do it two or three times or whatever, and then release a blessing, okay? And especially if you're in a ministry opportunity like a conference or a crusade and we've got like lines of people, like we were literally praying for one person, okay, let me see what's happening. Now let me ask you what's going on with you, and now I'm praying with you while my hand is on you. Now I'm going to come back. Now how is this, and is there any pain here? Okay, not. And then I'm coming back and checking on this other, and that's how we're doing it. And then add a translator. That makes it real interesting. So, I mean, sometimes you just do what you can do, right? God's there. He'll help you through it when it doesn't look perfect, right? It may not follow the formula exactly, but you just do as the Lord leads you to do it. Make sure you're praying with your eyes open. I said that some things to look for, you know, sometimes it's fluttering eyelids, trembling, perspiration. If you just kind of see a face change, you know, you just look for little signs like that. Or then you can ask them, you know, do you feel anything different? Do you notice anything? And, you know, and I always kind of tell them, move it around or do something you couldn't do before. And they're like, oh, I couldn't bend my wrist that far before. I was only about right here, and now I can. And so, hey, there's a sign. God's doing it. Thank God. A lot of times I ask for people to go ahead and clap because it gives God glory and it raises the faith level in the room. Oh, something's happening, right? So not just the two people praying, no. So we give God a little clap, and then we're like, okay, then let's go after again. And we just keep pursuing it. Now, when we're... Oh, this is really important. Don't preach, don't give advice, and don't prophesy. This is not the time for that. But as we're praying, now another thing, when someone's pain gets worse as you're praying for them, what do you think's going on there? There's a spirit of infirmity there. Infirmity is sickness, or a spirit of affliction, one that wants to torment, or whatever the disease or the issue is, we can call it that. That spirit of fear, that spirit of cancer, that spirit of pneumonia, or whatever it is that's going on, right? You can call it whatever you want to, or unclean, whatever you want to. It's all unclean to me. So I just tell it, Randy says this, if you spot them, then you got them, okay? I can't tell you how many times we've chased them out of people, though, too. So the pain gets worse, I know that that's a spirit, okay? So now I'm praying different. I'm not only telling the pain to leave, I am telling the spirit to leave, and it has to leave in the name of Jesus, and I use a command. That is when I know I start taking authority. I don't say, please leave, okay? We take authority, and we're firm, and we tell it to leave like it is somebody that snuck into your house or something. You ain't gonna just let it in, okay? It's like, no, you're getting out, okay? You take authority. So you do that. Now, I have seen it happen, and it's just weird, y'all. I'm just telling you now, it's weird. You can pray for a shoulder, and then it's like, oh, it's better, yay. Always ask them. So is there any other pain in your body? Just in case, because sometimes they move. Oh, well, now my elbow hurts. Was it hurting before? No. But your shoulder's not healing. Okay, well, now let's pray for your elbow. Oh, and now my wrist is hurting. My elbow's not. Okay, I've seen it. I've literally chased it like up and down someone's body before it'll finally get out. It's weird. I know it's weird, but I'm telling you it happens. It's crazy. I don't understand it, but it does. And so go after those things and be able to tell it, and you stay persistent, and don't just let it just stay there. I'm telling you, that's the time I'm staying for 2 hours after church if I have to, because it's moving. You know, and it's like, this is not okay. It is not allowed to hide, right? And so I just start real short, firm. Okay, now check it. Okay, now where's the pain at now? Okay, now here it is, and it's right there. Okay, so let's go after that one. And then, all right, now that one's better now. Okay, now check your body again. Is it? Well, now it's in my other knee. Okay, really? This? And I've even had people look at me like, this is weird. It's like, I know, but we know that it doesn't belong now. It's scared, like it's scared spitless, it's running. So you just keep chasing it till it's gone. And then when it's gone, I always ask Holy Spirit to come and fill, every vacated and voided place, just to cover my bases, okay? Because if it's been kicked out, we need something else to come in, right? So that's when I have to pay attention to them falling. When you fill, that's when they might go, okay? Because that's an impartation of that filling time. So any questions about that? I know that's just kind of trippy a little bit, but if the pain gets worse as you've prayed, or if it moves around, it's important to ask, especially if some people will have like 3 or 4 things to pray for. And so I ask, well, was it there before? Like, was this one of the ones you wanted prayer for before? Or is this a brand new one that just showed up? Sometimes I like to ask that and pay attention to some of that. Okay, so step four is, I kind of was doing that already, is the stop and the re-interview. You know, so if there's anything else that's going on, a couple of things they ask you, if you're making no progress, some possible questions to ask. I'd be very careful with these. So I hesitate going over some of them, but I'm going to mention them just because they're good points to make. All right, well, besides the forgiveness one, you know, do you think there might be a generational thing here? Is this in your family line at all? Well, that's a possibility. You know, it's a question, and sometimes they'll tell you, you know, something, well, my grandmother had it or whatever, and, you know, they may just tell you. And if they have an understanding of that, good. But sometimes people don't have an understanding of those kinds of things, right? So sometimes you can ask, does anyone else in your family have this issue at all? So then you know there's a little bit more something going on, and then you can change your prayer to break the generational curse that's there, right? Fear is always another good one besides unforgiveness to ask about. To ask about Freemasonry and all of that, that's some heavy stuff. I don't know that I'm going to do that in a short prayer thing. I'm just being really honest with you. If they come up and they tell me that, then I'm going to go, okay, then I'm just going to pray very short and specifically, I plead the blood of Jesus over them, you know, and through their generational line, and that there are curses that have been attached to that. If they have any understanding of that, I keep it really simple so we don't freak people out. But I tell them there's a really great book called Hoodwinked that you can go and get, and it tells you all about how to break off Freemasonry curses. It's some serious stuff. Or any other cultic activity or things like that, you know, that they're aware of. And so it's just, you know, again, I don't like to stir up fear and I don't like to stir up worry or anything like that. And so I'm just really careful leading on the Holy Spirit. Is this something I need to even talk about? Is this where I need to go or not? Right? Do you hear what I'm saying? So just be really careful and pay attention to how the person is responding to you. You know, because to ask a question like, well, has anyone ever cursed you or your family that you know of? That's kind of an odd question, you know, to kind of ask somebody. Now, if they come up and they say, you know, I was ministering in Thailand once and the family member told me they were cursed by this neighbor. She was brushing her hair and all of a sudden was perfectly healthy. And this lady was really mad at us, this neighbor, and we know she cursed because she was a witch and she cursed her. And she just fell over one day brushing her hair and fell over and she was paralyzed from then on. I've been in a wheelchair. And I'm like, okay, well, they really believe this is a curse thing, so now I'm going after it that way. Does that make sense? Yeah. But I'm still going to pray for them the way that I'm trained to pray. So the thing is, with her, she was in a wheelchair. And they don't really talk about this, so I'm going to mention this here. They kept trying to get her up out of the wheelchair because we had two or three other people getting up out of wheelchairs. And this, we had soaked them for about an hour during worship. And some people were getting out and people were excited and stuff or whatever. So they, in full faith, bless their heart, full faith, they kept trying to get her up and they kept trying to get her to walk. And so I finally it broke my heart and I had to go all the way across the auditorium and tell them, let her stay in her chair. Can she feel anything yet? No? Then that's what we need to pray for first. Okay, she's completely paralyzed. So we've got to build the faith up. We can't just, you can't make it happen anyway, just getting her up out of the wheelchair. Here, can she feel anything? I'm doing the interview process. Can she feel anything? Can she feel? So I'm asking in with the translator, you know, I'm touching her thighs. Like, can she feel my thigh? Can she feel this? Can she feel her toes? Can you wiggle your toes at all? Right? So I'm starting small. I'm like, I'm commanding those toes to move. Like, let's see her move her toes or see her move her feelings, her fingers or something first. Let's just see. So we just kept praying. We had several other people coming around and praying. There's another thing. If you're praying with a group of people, pay attention to be honoring about who might be the primary prayer person and versus coming in and taking over somebody else praying. It's one thing if you have something new or extra you might want to add. I would talk to the person who's praying. I think I have a word of knowledge or something. Do you mind? Or what about, I think it might be this. And I let that person decide to lead. But I'm really careful about that, right? We've got to really be honoring when we pray as a team. But you might have a piece in there that you really got to, you know, say if Holy Spirit's leading you to. So we just got her to kind of, again, we just prayed. She couldn't talk very well. So we had the translator with her, her family member. Long story short, she was able to wiggle her toes, y'all, after an hour. Can I tell you that that is miraculous? That she can wiggle her toes. you know, now I guess she didn't get up and start walking, but that's a miracle. And so I had to get their family to really focus on, sometimes it happens over time. Sometimes it's a small thing, but that's a miracle that she can wiggle her toes, that she can even start to feel part of her thigh on some level. We had a I don't know, what is a stick or a brush or something, you know, that she could, and she could start feeling that, you know, she would turn her head and close her eyes and, you know, and she'd be able to feel some spots and tell us what, you know, we're, so she started to get feeling in her legs. That's miraculous. But when you see somebody else get out of a wheelchair, that's really hard, right? It's really hard. So my word of encouragement on the fifth step was, God heals in all different kinds of ways. And what just happened to you is miraculous. Do not compare your healing or lack thereof with somebody else. You know, he loves you, he is here with you, and he is doing something if you can wiggle your toes, right? That's amazing. So keep people focused on what's most important. Take your time. Don't try to make anything happen. And just be very, very honoring. Be very careful. We especially never talk about whether someone has enough faith or not enough faith. I think we've said this to y'all before. I'm sure most of y'all in here know that, but I have to say it out loud, that we don't ever say, well, you don't have enough faith or not. I've heard Randy say plenty of times, I've had these people in wheelchairs or whatever else coming for prayer, and I have no faith for it, and I'm exhausted. At the end of a conference, bless their heart, all I can do is say, God, help me love them well. And he'll just sit there and he'll just pray for them, and he just asks for the love of the Father for them. And then they get healed. Some don't, but some do, right? And when he's had no faith whatsoever. So God can do whatever he wants to do. We just have to be a willing vessel, right? Okay. Sometimes an inner healing thing will present itself, like when we talk about forgiveness, or if they start sharing about rejection and we know that inner healing needs to happen. I'm really careful about that in a short-term prayer ministry kind of time. Number one, don't be a counselor. Don't try to give them advice or tell them what to do. Just pray. God, would you just touch their heart? God, would you just overwhelm them with your love right now? You know, just whatever needs to happen, that you just remove all of that pain. Just a real simple prayer about their heart, right? I mean, just something to address that inner healing, and just let the Holy Spirit kind of guide you with that. Be really brief. If they tell you something specific, then pray specifically. If they need to cry, let them have a good cry. You know, just love really well. That's the most important thing. Be careful when you're ministering to a person who's under any kind of medical care. If you know that they're taking medications, don't ever, 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 ever tell them to stop taking their medication. You're not a doctor, and I don't care if you are a doctor on the ministry team, you're not going to tell them what to do. Okay, so I always tell people, even if they feel like they've been healed, even if they have full faith in whatever it is that, you know, they couldn't do before, go to your doctor and check it out. Have the doctor say it's okay to do anything different, right? Like, you don't leave here thinking, oh, I'm healed now, so I'm not going to take my diabetes medication. No. I believe by faith, if you felt something and there's something happened, then you go to the doctor and get the medical evidence and proof, and hallelujah, there's a testimony in the medical records that God did something amazing. And then you get to go testify to your doctor, right, about it. Like, that's always crazy fun. Okay, I have seen x-rays where metal is in one back and then it's disappeared out of the other. I've seen it with my own eyes. It's crazy, but fun, right? So it's like, okay, go talk to your doctor, make sure it gets cleared out. The doctor says it's good, it's really important. So just kind of have a mentality that this is a team approach, right? So make sure that you're really careful about that. If they have multiple issues, try to pray for one condition at a time. Sometimes it can be real distracting when someone says, well, I need this, and I need this, and this, and this, and okay, well, let's just start with one at a time. So this is the one that stood out to me, so I'm going to pray for this one first, and we're going to see if anything moves with that one, and then I'm going to move on to another one, right? Like, it's good to kind of be focused, because then they're paying attention to their body and about what's happening with that particular ailment instead of all six or whatever. Does that make sense? Now, it is fun sometimes that, again, listen and pay attention. There was a 19-year-old kid about this tall when I think it was in, no, I know that it was in Korea, because he came up and he's like, I played basketball and I hurt my back, and so I need prayer for my back or whatever. And I said, okay, well, is there anything else going on? You know, I just kind of asked for whatever reason. I said, was there anything else? And he says, oh, well, I haven't been able to breathe since I was five. Wait, what? I haven't been able to breathe through my nose since I was five, but it's okay. Like, he's used to it, right? Like, he was totally like, but it's okay. I mean, but he mentioned it when I asked too. And I was like, well, that's not okay. I personally was offended for him because Korean food is really amazing. It is my comfort food. My mother's from Korea. So I'm like, that's not okay to not be able to taste. Like, I asked him, I was like, so you can't taste your food? He's like, no. I'm like, since you were five? And I said, so what happened? He's like, I don't know. I had like a sinus infection and just haven't been able to taste anything or really breathe through my nose at all. I was like, so you can't breathe? Like you can't breathe? And he's like, no. Like, he tried a couple times. I was like, okay, well, that's not okay with me. So I prayed for his nose and I commanded his nostrils to open up or whatever. And I prayed and I said, now I want you to take a big breath in. And he did. And he was like, what? And he was just freaking out. And he kept doing it, and I was like, and I didn't even pray for his back, but I said, now how's your back? And it was gone. Like, the pain was gone out of his back, too. So sometimes you don't even have to pray, right? But it's like, I just got personally offended about that one. But just pay attention, because when you ask sometimes, they might say, oh, well, that's that one, you know, but I'm kind of used to that one. Like, really? You just want to keep that one? I don't think so. Like, no, that's not okay. But so there are often, you know, sometimes there are more things going on. I don't want to jump too far ahead. Okay, so trying to follow the book here. Know when to stop praying. This is a good one, okay? Stop praying when the person's completely healed, when the person wants you to stop, they may be tired or just simply feel like you should stop, when the Holy Spirit tells you to stop, or when you're not given any other way to pray, you're not really gaining any ground, right? You don't just want to keep them there, you know, forever. Like, I'm thankful that you're persistent, but if nothing's moving, then it just may not be their day, or it may be that God wants to do something else. It may be something else that he wants to do. So if I pray three or four times, I've done the forgiveness thing, there isn't anything else that they can tell me that's, you know, there isn't any other clue, then I just bless them. I ask God to bless them. I may or may not get a word or something for them, but if I'm going to do anything, though, that post-prayer suggestion is to encourage them. Give them a scripture. You know, be very, very careful. They talk about some of this other stuff in here, like, you know, if the condition resulted from an occult experience or habitual sin, suggest tactfully that a change in lifestyle may well be needed to avoid a recurrence of his condition. Well, that is true. Like, that's a good thing, but please don't do that here. Just because you got to be really careful, y'all. You don't ever want to come across like you're shaming somebody. If that person is open and you have relationship with them to be able to do that, that is one thing, but I'm going to ask you not to do something like that here. I just think that's cleaner, safer. You know, you just want to be really careful and honoring, and we just always want to err on the side of honor, right? So just be really careful about that. So that they're being thorough in the training manual, okay? They're being very, very thorough. But that's one thing that stood out to me that I was kind of like, you know, the go and sin no more thing, I just don't know if I, that just sounds too much like accusation, or it could from the other person, right? Now, if it's Randy Clark telling me, that's one thing, but I'm going to ask you not to do that. I hope that's okay, Jay. I just made that executive decision. I figured you're with me on that one. He said yes, so just so you know. But never accuse lack of faith. Always let them know. Sometimes healing is progressive. I like to remind people about the lepers, you know, who are walking along the road, and Jesus, you know, prayed for them. And as they went on their journey to Jerusalem, it was a three-day journey. One leper came back. All of them were healed. Jesus said, weren't they not all healed? Where's everybody else at? Only one came back to thank him. But they were all healed, but they were healed as they went over a three-day journey. Okay, so even Jesus didn't have somebody healed immediately right in front of him. I'm just saying. So if there's one example in there, that encourages me that, you know, I can do that too. That happens. This is sometimes a good one to say to people. Sometimes after a healing does happen, the enemy's going to want to come in and bring it back to you, because he's going to test and see whether or not you really believe that you're healed or if this was just emotional hype, right? So I just try to sometimes remind people, I don't do it with everybody, but sometimes I feel led to remind people, now if the enemy tries to come in and this starts hurting again tomorrow, okay, you just start by saying, I was healed. You don't get to come back in. Because sometimes people can lose their healing by making an agreement that was like, oh, that must not have really happened. Or, oh man, it's back again, right? Sometimes unintentionally it's possible for you to open that door back up for that thing to show up again, okay? Now, is it possible that you weren't healed? Not in my opinion. If you sat here and said you were healed and you didn't feel the pain anymore, I mean, unless, you know, I mean, I can't accuse you of lying. You're the one who said it. You know what I mean? So sometimes I'll tell people, I was like, no, you're not lying, right? Like, because my brain is still going, what? You're healed? You know, but I'm like, no, you're not just saying that to be nice. And you're not saying that just by faith, right? Sometimes I have to ask that because some people are like so quick. It's like, really that fast? You know? and so sometimes you're like, no, really, like you're not just doing this like by faith. I'm just believing it. Well, but is the pain still there? No, the pain's gone. Like, you're sure, like, sometimes I just ask certain people, because certain people I can kind of tell the way they pray and will talk with me. I'm like, are you just saying that by faith, or is it really done? You know, kind of a thing. Or sometimes it's just so miraculous, your brain just kind of goes, what? Really? Like, yay, God, but really? You know, that was fast, you know, kind of a thing. So sometimes it's just by that. My faith. But we want to be able to encourage people. They have some great examples in here, literally, like word for word. Okay, here's what the prayer person says, here's what the receiver says, and here, you know, they kind of give you several examples in the book of some ways to pray and to think about those, which I think are really good. So if you've never done that before, it's really good to walk through some of those. I'm not going to give you those details today. I'm going to skip over really quick to chapter 9. Where it talks about hindrances to healing. We've already mentioned some of these. Unforgiveness, resentment, anger, bitterness, a lack of inner healing. It could be a curse, could be generational problems, past involvement in the occult, a lack of desire for healing. We prayed for a guy who was totally plastered drunk out on in the red light district once, and he sobered up in about 15 minutes as we were praying, but I think it was his ankle or something, started to feel better and started to get healed or whatever, and then it started to freak him out a little bit because he was getting disability. So we were like, so do you still want the disability or do you want healing? And he really wasn't sure, right? So I'm like, well, the Lord's healed your ankle. He loves you a whole lot and he really wants to restore you, but it's really up to you, you know, but all the rest of it can go. So I'm praying that it all goes, but you know, I mean, if you want it back, you can, I guess, but I'm asking that it doesn't come back, you know, so that's just an interesting thing. Sometimes they don't want to. It makes you wonder, maybe that was why Jesus asked everybody that came to him, what do you want? Even though it was obvious, right? It's like, well, what do you want? Well, duh, I'm blind or whatever. He always asked them, what do you want? What do you want of me? Freemasonry is a huge one, so it's still on, it's on this one too. Difficulty in believing that God heals, lack of faith, fear, any unresolved guilt, sin, disobedience, broken inner vows, unbroken inner vows, ungodly soul ties, that kind of stuff. Are y'all familiar with soul ties? Anybody not familiar with soul ties at all or the concept of that? Though I'm just going to mention that really quick because I think it's important. Here's the best way I know how to explain it. When you have sexual contact and connection, you are creating a soul tie with a person. It is a spiritual bond. It was God's idea, right, for that to happen in a marriage. So when you do it outside of a marriage, outside of that covenant of marriage, you're creating a soul tie because it was God's idea to put two people to one. He was not just talking about physical flesh. He was talking about emotional and spiritual connection, okay? So it's kind of like when you have that. Now, it can happen also non-sexual. It can be like a deeply emotional or what I'll call an enabling or a very enmeshed kind of relationship, okay? When it's really overly enmeshed emotionally, that can happen as well. I've seen that happen, and I've seen it in deliverance ministry where a mother-daughter had a very enmeshed relationship and both of them were delivered at the same time by someone from that. But generally speaking, a soul tie is created when you have a deep emotional relationship, but particularly a sexual one. What you've done is you've created a tether between you and that person. Okay, so that tether stays with you, which is why when I see especially teenagers in my office and they've had really, really bad breakups and they're having a really hard time getting over it. I mean, it's one thing for it to be your first love and puppy love. It's a whole other thing when you have crossed that line. And so I tell them, whether they're believers or not, well, there's this concept, whether you agree with it or not, that that's what makes it harder. So it makes it harder is because it was not just a physical connection, it's a spiritual one. And so we have to confess the sin, ask God to sever that unholy soul tie. I know lots of people who have created a holy soul tie afterwards in their relationship, though they've had an unholy soul tie before marriage, right? But then they get married and they create a holy soul tie. Well, God bless the holy soul tie. That's the covenant, right, that he created. But it might be muddying the waters if there's an unholy soul tie. So clean that up. Ask God to forgive you. Confess the sin. Ask him to sever the soul tie. Whatever I gave to that person, I want it back. Whatever they gave to me, I give it back. They're no longer mine. I'm no longer theirs, right, in that regard. Because it's like a highway that the enemy can translate back and forth to, right? So it's like some people, and I've seen this happen, I don't have time to explain it, but like if out of the blue you start wrestling with depression or some issue or whatever, and you usually don't have that issue, well, it might be related to the highway soul tie where someone else that you were dating before is dealing with that issue and now it's messing with you, right? Or you keep having thoughts about that person and you can't get them out of your head, like you can't get over that relationship kind of a thing. Usually to me, that's a red flag of a possible soul tie. So those might be some hindrances to healing. So, and it goes into a little bit of detail about some of these, and I'm not going to do that. That's just a really good list, and there's books and books, honestly, about some of the stuff that you can get into. But those are sometimes hindrances to healing. It's good information to have, but I don't think you should necessarily go down the whole list of possible reasons why you weren't healed here at the altar. Don't do that, okay? Let's not do that. So we always want to leave them loved and leaving them encouraged. Good? Okay. Last thing I'm going to cover is words of knowledge for healing. Now, Jay gave this example. Actually, he's done it more than once, but he did it last week and started getting some words of knowledge. Now, tell me the difference between a word of knowledge and a word of prophecy. Do you know? Prophecy is for the future, she says. Okay. Yeah. Basically, a word of knowledge, we'll talk about prophecy when we go into prophecy 101 after we finish up healing. Prophecy is a word from the Lord that can be about the future. It can be foretelling or forthtelling, okay? But it's not just what can happen in the future or what's happening right now in your life, but it can also be the potential of some of those things, the desire of God's heart for you. Okay, that you would want to partner with. A word of knowledge is very simply factual information that I should not know about you any other way, right? If you had Doritos for breakfast this morning, I don't know why you would have Doritos, but that's what popped in my head just now. Anybody here have Doritos for breakfast? Just asking. But if you had Doritos for breakfast this morning, then that would be factual information that I should not know about you. Now, my next question to the Lord is, why did you tell me that? Like, what's that about? Sometimes it may just be a faith-building thing for that person to know that I'm hearing God. Okay. One time we did this exercise in a class and I got French fries and I saw the box was McDonald's French fries with the, you know, the red thing and the yellow stripes or whatever. I said, someone had McDonald's French fries before class. And I thought it was this particular person, but I didn't have the faith enough to say it out loud, to be really honest. But I was like, I'm pretty sure it's this college person. But I was like, someone had McDonald's French fries for dinner. We were practicing words of knowledge. And then she was like, oh my gosh, I totally did. And I was like, oh my gosh, I knew it was totally you, right? And so then the next question was, God, why did you tell me that? Like, what's next, right? So then out of that came a prophetic word. And it was really kind of funny because I laughed when I said it. I was like, oh my gosh, he wants to deep fry you in oil. And what was funny, because then she's like, oh my gosh, our friend was going to do an oil ceremony. It was this thing that she does with the ram's horn or whatever, and she puts oil in it, and then she like drenches it over you and prays blessing and does this cool little prophetic act thing. And it was just about to happen that weekend, and I'm like, yay, God, right? Like, it was so good. So sometimes a word of knowledge can lead to a prophetic word like that example. Now, what we're talking about for here is a word of knowledge for healing and how those gifts go hand in hand. Often the way Randy would teach this for the teams is to be able to check your body. Because if you check your body, especially if you know you're about to go to a place where you might run into somebody, but it can happen at any time, not just ministry time, okay? I'm just telling you. But especially if you're coming to church, it just might be a good practice or whatever for you just to start noticing, how's my body doing? I'm good, okay, well, now I'm starting to feel like pain in my right heel. Anybody here have pain in their right heel? Sometimes when I teach it, it happens, so I'm just going with it. Okay, so whether it's you or someone you might know is possible, okay? So that's just a word of knowledge. If that's God, then he wants to heal that now, right? Like, it's a now word. Word of knowledge is about present day timing right now. So if I feel a sharp pain and I can describe it, it's in my right heel, right in the middle of the heel. Like, as I'm stepping, you know, so the more specific I can be, the better it is. Or like right now, I feel one in my wrist, right here in the wrist bone. Anybody have that? Like, it feels like carpal tunnel maybe? Okay, so that's Christy. So the Lord wants to heal that. And so if that's a word of knowledge, I'm going to have you stand up. Now, you're loving me really well. If I release a word of knowledge and you're like, ooh, I think that might be me, then stand up. Okay. It's okay if it's not carpal tunnel, but thank you for saying that, because I said maybe carpal tunnel. I just know that there's pain. My next thought, that's right, you did have carpal. Okay, so for some people, it's a little more specific. I'm specifically feeling it in the left wrist, so if that's you, then you're going to have more faith and go, oh, yeah, I have a left wrist issue. I said maybe carpal tunnel. That's the word picture that came to my mind. It was my impression. And so I'm not only feeling it physically, the more specific I can feel it, right, the more specific and the more faith other people can have that, oh, maybe that one's mine. Now, if you happen to have something in your right wrist and it's not your left wrist, take it. Like, you know, like with childlike faith, stand up, okay? So how many of you without praying right now can feel your left wrist and there's no more pain, or if it's better or improved at all? Okay. Okay, I don't know either. What do you mean by it's still there, but it doesn't hurt? Okay, so you see signs, but there's no more pain. Thank you, God, that there's no more pain, and we bless what you're doing right now in Jesus' name, and we ask you to accelerate it. Any movement? Okay, Christy's is decreasing. Notice that if it's a word of knowledge from the Lord, right, that's him saying it. I didn't even pray yet. All I did was ask you. I think it was a step of faith to stand up, number one. You step into the healing by activating faith. So you do that by stepping up, and you're loving me well to let me know that I might have actually heard God. Okay? So thank you. And God, we just ask that right now you touch these left or right wrists, whatever these wrists are right now. In Jesus' name, we release healing. We command all pain to go in Jesus' name. We break off the word curse of ganglia in Jesus' name and all the signs and bumps that follow. Lord, let them go in Jesus' name. We command all swelling to decrease in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, we thank you, God. We bless these joints to be whole and to work properly. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Now the pain in my wrist is gone. How's everybody else? Sometimes I'll ask, scale of 0 to 10, where was it, where is it now? Or it's harder to say percent, I think, because when I've done this, I'm like, well, 50% kind of. I like the number thing for me. It's gone. Praise God. It's gone out of Christy. Thank you, Jesus. Nana, getting better? You feel something? Okay, so we bless it, God, to continue. How's yours? Or are you the heel? You're the wrist? You have a wrist? Okay. 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 Well, Lord, we ask that it never returns again in Jesus' name. We just command healing in Jesus' name. And so whenever you can test it out, let us know. And just believe by faith, right, that it's going to go. Tell me about you and your wrist with the ganglia. Like I said, all pain is gone. Okay. And what are the other signs? You said there's knots or?
They're little bumps.
Okay. Are the bumps gone yet?
Okay. Well,
as long as the pain's gone, hallelujah. But Lord, take care of the bumps too. I want the bumps to dissolve. If they don't belong there, then make them go away. But yeah, thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Go ahead and have a seat, and then we'll check in on Nana before you leave. You let me know how you're doing. So a word of knowledge is, how do you hear God, right? And so it's easier if you begin to practice. I say it's easier. You know, if you hear God a particular way, that might be a way he's going to tell you. However, I will stretch you. I'm going to ask you to stretch yourself to hear God in a different way. I think it's good practice anyway. Sometimes if we don't hear the Lord, if you ever feel like you're in a dry season and you're not really hearing the Lord like you used to, it's not because he's not talking. It might be because he's trying to teach you how to hear him in another way. Okay, it's an invitation. He never leaves you. He never forsakes you. Okay? He's just trying to teach you something in a whole other way. He's wanting you to search for him, right? He's like the ultimate treasure hunt, like the Easter egg hunt. You know, when you're little, the eggs are right here where you can see them. But when you're older, he hides them really good, and you got to go searching them out. But he hides them for you, not from you, right? He likes the mystery in that and the adventure of you seeking him out. So do that with words of knowledge. So checking your body. Right now, I'm going to ask, Lord, that you just touch people's bodies and release words of knowledge right now in Jesus' name. Just begin to notice your body. And if you know the pain's not yours, and what I mean by that, because no pain is mine. It doesn't exist in heaven. It shouldn't exist in me. However, had I just, for example, tripped and, you know, stubbed my toe today, I'm not going to give the stubbed toe as a word of knowledge because I know that I did that, right? Just saying, okay? But other than that, if there's any other pain in your body that is not yours and you think it might be a word of knowledge, stand up and let's do it. What do you have, Colton? Okay, I'm going to get the microphone so we can all hear. And try to be as specific as you can. That's why we're asking for them in the body.
There's a pain in the neck running down into the left shoulder.
Okay. Okay, and if you have that, stand up. Anybody have that? Okay, we've got one.
I had a pain in my right shoulder blade, but at the very top, it almost feels like it's part of the bone. It may be muscular, but really sharp nerve in the bone running down my right shoulder blade.
Anybody else? Does that feel like anybody? Okay.
I have like a soreness in my teeth. Just these two in my gums, and then up into just right under my eye on my.
Okay, like a sinus cavity. Yeah. Okay, anybody have that? Or do you know of anybody who might have these things? See, that's really important to remember too. When a word of knowledge is released, it's for present day right now. God is saying he wants to heal it right now. If that's God, then either someone in this room has it or you know somebody who has this. Whether you know it right now or whether you might know in the future. So you know somebody who has that. Okay, there's one right there. Thank you. And you know somebody who has the shoulder. Okay.
Left foot, the joint below the big toe.
Okay. Anybody have that? Okay.
And right before you said, you know, do we notice a pain, I started feeling tightness in my upper back, and I just knew it wasn't me. So just tightness right through these muscles.
Okay. Now, if we happen to know, and I don't know the lumbar, but if you happen to know the lumbars, it's nice to say, or if you just say it's right in the middle of the back where she's pointing, the more specific we can be, the better. If you just say pain in the back, well, that could, you know, that's pretty generic. But the more specific, it helps with faith. So we've got Naomi on that one. Do you have a word of knowledge? Or are you standing for?
A word of knowledge.
Okay.
Actually, it's the same as Colton's on the left, the neck on the left side. And when I was studying this and reading this, I actually felt like an earache in the left ear.
Okay. Anybody have that?
No, but that's what I'm feeling too, is a piercing kind of thing in my left ear.
Okay. Another word of knowledge for a piercing in the left ear, like not like a pain in the inner ear, would you say?
Yeah, in the canal.
In the canal. Yeah. Anybody have that? Okay. Just take mental note if you might hear of somebody when you go home tonight or tomorrow that's going to have one of these words of knowledge, and to be able to pray for them and go, oh, that word of knowledge was just released. So, you know, we'll pray for that. So right now I'm just going to pray, and those of you who are interceding for other people, did you have one, Christy?
Okay.
Okay,
so you said earlier, even if they're saying left, but it's your right, claim it, but then you were saying be very specific.
Uh-huh. Okay, you can claim that though too. I ask people, it's a great question though. So she's asking, well, what about all this stuff? Because this is all happening with me, but it's the right side, not the left side. Well, I say with childlike faith, if it's close to you, grab it. And the reason why I say that is because my husband's shoulder, his rotator cuff was healed because he was hanging on every word. We were at a Bill Johnson conference and him and all his little students were giving words of knowledge, and he had torn his rotator cuff playing baseball years and years and years, like 12 years or whatever, and we'd been praying for it. Long story short, Bill is up there just kind of teaching while everyone's out there praying. He's like, you know, so whether it's a right elbow or a left shoulder or whatever, but because he said the word shoulder, my husband went, mine. You know, and so we prayed for him and he was completely healed. So that's why I say by faith, go ahead. If it's in your heart, when that's close enough, I'm going to take it, right? Like childlike faith, grab hold of it. But the reason why I tell you to be as specific as you can in the word of knowledge is because it will edify someone's faith if you just described exactly what was going on with them. Does that make sense? Okay, so it's just good practice to be as specific as you can, but I just do tell people, hey, but by faith you can claim it if it's right or left. It doesn't matter to me. Just ask God, right? If he gets excited, then you go like, mine, then take it, because it can happen. It can happen like that. By that faith can be honored. So test out right now, those of you who have had those issues that were called out by word of knowledge, before I pray, has there been any change that you can test out? Linda?
I was going, when you got through talking and everything, before you just ask for the different people a word of knowledge and everything,
uh-huh.
I was going to ask if anyone had prayed about a neck, because my neck has been so stiff for the last 6 months that I just am in pain all the time with this. I have no pain right now in my neck.
Okay, praise God, thank
and
you.
So anyways, I'm sitting here and I'm gonna go, oh, I don't wanna bend my neck, it's gonna hurt too bad. And I can sit there and
look at you, roll that around, thank you God.
Roll that thing around.
Yay, thank you God.
Yes,
more.
Thank you Lord.
All the way throughout her body, Jesus. Okay, so the rest of you, if you had a word of knowledge, test it out and let's see if there's any more movement before we pray. Sometimes just by the releasing of the word of knowledge, the healing comes. So anybody notice anything? Yeah.
Tonight I'm really sore in my shoulder blades, on both sides, you know, very stiff. So I moved here because I was so cold, but I'm hot right now.
Okay.
It's really, yeah, feeling the warmth.
Okay, good. Yes. Thank you, Lord. So we're feeling warmth now where it was cold. So thank you, Lord. Just more. Just feeling better. Anyone else? Okay, so Father, we thank you for the releasing of words of knowledge. And we just command all pain to leave now. We speak to every ailment that's been identified. We tell all pain to leave, all spirit of infirmity to go in Jesus' name. We release complete and total healing and restoration. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Pain go, in Jesus' name. We release restoration power upon each one. Complete and total healing. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Now, if you can test out anything and know. Now, you're interceding for someone, right? Okay, yeah, text or call or whatever. I promise you, that's where I learned this. We were in that same Bill Johnson conference where my husband was healed. People were calling people on the cell phones, and people were getting healed via the cell phone by them calling, you know, from the room because of the words of knowledge being released. I promise. It's crazy, but it happens, right? There is no time or distance in the kingdom. Okay, so how are you? But right now there's no pain.
No.
Okay. Okay. Well, there won't be. We declare it in Jesus' name. There'll be no more pain tomorrow in Jesus' name. And if it tries to be there, you just yell at it and tell it no. Okay? Yeah.
How about words of knowledge regarding emotional things?
during worship, I got two words. I got striving and contention.
Okay.
Those are just things that my spirit was getting.
Okay. So I'm going to say it this way. If any of you here are feeling like those words mean something to you, striving or contention, I encourage you to talk to Jannie before you leave. Okay. Something about releasing. Thank you, Jannie, for doing that, though, because it is important that we will sometimes get impressions about emotional stuff. Sometimes, whether it's physical or whether it's emotional, we have to be really careful about how we release them. I'm talking in this mic again. And it's habit. And so it's really important to remember honor again. Like, you are not going to call out an STD or something and have someone want to stand up and go, "Oh, that's me," right? I mean, like you're not going to do that. Or guess what? Some people will do that. So sometimes we'll have to say, now this one is a very private one. We do not want you to stand up, but they may mention, you know, this happens to be the word of knowledge I got. And so, but, you know, you can come find me later if you want to, or just believe by faith in your chair, right? You know, kind of thing. Or you can come up and have prayer with me later about something. So you can do that, but you want to be really careful about releasing those things and emotional stuff too. Sometimes that's why I said it the way that I said. If that makes sense to you for some reason, if those words really stand out to you, striving and contention, and that's an emotional thing that you're dealing with, then see Jannie or you know, and have her or somebody pray for you about that. But it can be very much a word of knowledge about emotional things happening in the room that the Lord wants to heal or to touch. And sometimes you'll get vague stuff. You'll get weird things. And I'll share this one testimony because it's the weirdest one for me. And I was practicing words of knowledge and was brand new at this. And we were in it was a conference for pastors and missionaries. And so we were releasing word of knowledge, and I hadn't done it very, very few times, you know, so I was still brand new. And so I was just asking God for stuff. And I felt similar to the ear one that you guys were talking about, that I knew immediately. I felt the pain in my ear. I knew it was an inner ear issue, and it had something to do with drainage or maybe tubes in the ears. The word tube kind of came to me, but I felt it here and I heard the word tube, had the impression of the word tube. And so I knew that one was one, but as the mic was being passed along, it was very vivid and very clear. I heard panda. I didn't just hear it, I saw the picture. I'm very visual. So I got panda, I got kangaroo, and I got bamboo. You remember the story? And I got bamboo, and I'm like, well, that's just weird, God. You know, so I'm like, panda, kangaroo, and bamboo. Like, I don't know. So my heart's beating because you're not really supposed to release those, you know, on this particular ministry season. We were just doing healing, but it just felt really strong. And so where my brain goes with that, trying to figure it out, is, okay, so I know pandas eat bamboo, but kangaroos don't eat bamboo. Koalas eat bamboo. But pandas make me think of China. Kangaroos and koala make me think of Australia. So maybe there's somebody here from, like, China and Australia, or they're missionaries in China and Australia or something. Maybe that's for them. Like, I'm making up this whole scene in my head, right? So here's the thing. When you release a word of knowledge, release it just like you got it. Don't try to add to it in the very beginning, okay? So this is kind of what I did. You want to do it as specifically as possible, and they mentioned this in here at some point, but I'll just say this. So we passed through, I released the ear one, and I said, okay, so I heard and saw a panda, a kangaroo, and a bamboo. Does that mean anything to anybody? Chirp, chirp, chirp. You know, there was nothing in there. I was like, okay, so here's where my brain goes. And I told them exactly what I told you. I don't know what it is, so I don't know if this has to do with China and Australia or whatever, but that's just what my brain is making up right now. Does that fit anybody? Nobody raised their hand. So I'm like, okay. So we're at the very end of the ministry time, and I'm praying for the person. This lady comes up to me, and she says, okay, so the ear thing, I've adopted two sons from China. I'm from Australia, and they both have inner ear stuff, and they're having tubes. They just had tubes in their ears, and there's been lots of pain for that. And I'm like, hello, Jesus, you know? So I pray for this lady, and she goes out, and I have no idea if anything happened with any of that. I just know she went down. And I pray for this other lady comes up to me. She's like, I'm Thai, but my family history is Chinese. Most of there's Chinese, you know, often are there in Thailand. So my family's really Chinese, but I'm from Thailand, and my husband is from Australia. I just left Australia to come back to Thailand because I'm having trouble with my visa. So I don't know if that's me or not. I don't have an ear thing, but maybe that's me. And I'm like, I don't know either. Let's just pray. So I'm sitting down with her and we're praying. And as I just speak a blessing and Lord, you know, deal with the visa stuff. And immediately she goes, oh my gosh. And she saw a picture of her wedding invitation. And her wedding invitation had a panda to represent China and a koala to represent Australia, and bamboo in the middle was on her wedding invitation. And I was like, I don't know, that's Jesus. He's crazy. That's the craziest one I've ever gotten like that before. So sometimes you will feel, sometimes you will see a picture. Sometimes you might like read a word like on somebody's body. Sometimes people will see that, or a word floating over their head. It might be an impression, like a thought that you might get. While you're talking or while you're praying for somebody, words just kind of come out of your mouth and you didn't really mean to say it, but it was inspired basically. The Holy Spirit kind of just like, bleh, and there it is. You might have a dream or a vision about something. You might actually experience it or feel it. Sometimes people can experience visions like a 3D kind of movie, like right in front of them too. So God can release these things in lots of ways, but don't be presumptuous. Be careful. Don't say something like, hey, God just told me that you have an earache. Man, you're really bold if you're going to walk out that one, okay? So it's better to start with, so I kind of have this impression, do you have anything going on with your ear? You know, you might have a picture, like of a flower or something. Does a picture of a flower vase or something mean anything to you in particular? And you might describe the kind of flower. Does that mean anything to you? Because then if they're like, no, and you're like, okay, you just drop it, and they just look at you like you're weird, right? But if it's like, oh, yeah, and then like, okay, well, that's just a confirmation. All right, now what more, God? Like, why are you telling me that? What more do you want? You know, what else is the impression? You know, what am I supposed to be praying about? Or it just kind of opens a door into something else like that. The thing about words of knowledge for healing is that it does aid in evangelism, because it's like, wow, you should not know that. Right? Like, how did you hear that? How did you know that? Or whatever. And that was God. And especially when healing shows up, that's always amazing. So that's where the gifts can be paired together, the words of knowledge and healing. And like I said, even sometimes word of knowledge and a prophetic word can sometimes be tied together. So I know we are over time. If you need to go, feel free to go, and you can practice this on your own. We already practiced words of knowledge today, but I want us to practice the 5-step prayer model. So if you are still here with an ailment of any kind, stand up. Everybody here's all healthy? Wow, we're all good. Okay. All right. Hey, listen, if you want prayer for something, please stand. Okay. Now, those of you who can stay, if you need to go, you are blessed to go. I bless you. We will see you Sunday or Wednesday. We love you. Thank you so much. I want to honor our time. Those of you who want to stay and practice, I want you guys to practice the 5-step prayer model. So if you're sitting down, find somebody who's standing up. It's okay if we have more than one person to a person, but just decide on some level who the primary will be, or you can kind of practice together, tag team or whatever. So everyone who's standing should have somebody praying with them. If you need to go, feel free. You're totally okay to go. But if you'd like to stay and practice, okay. Who does not have a prayer person? Okay, we still need a couple of prayer people. Alrighty, Linda still needs one. We still have a few over here. Until all the hands are down, we got two more. I'm gonna pray for Linda over here. Okay, so does everybody have someone to pray for? We still have two over here, three. We have another person over here. We've got Albert. We have a guy that can pray. Do you mind? We have Albert over here. Everybody have somebody now? Linda, you come over here. I'll come pray for you. Okay, so you're going to walk through the 5-step prayer model. So the first one, interview. Decide how you're going to pray, then interview again, and then speak a blessing. All right, y'all keep praying, but we got a testimony.
Okay. For a long time, I've been dealing with a neck and back issue. Kind of started right around the time I started working for UPS, loading packages. And just yesterday I was changing the oil in my car, and I sat up and I went to roll my neck, and I couldn't look straight up like that. Like, I would try to roll my neck, and there's too much pain involved, and now I can just look straight up.
Awesome. Thank
you.
Awesome.
We were talking. JD was asking him the questions, like you said, mm-hmm. and then JD right away said, like you said, so how do you feel? And we didn't even pray.
You didn't even pray? Yeah. That's good. Yeah. The Lord will heal it. He will. Sometimes it's good just to ask. Yeah, especially with the word of knowledge with the back and, I mean, the neck. That's good. Anything else? Any testimonies? Any movement? I didn't hear any clapping, so I'm just asking. Levi, you have a testimony? Here we go.
I hit my head on a dresser, and ever since, I couldn't open my mouth fully or it would hurt on the side of my head. Mm-hmm. And my family prayed for it, and I can do that now without it hurting.
Awesome. Yay, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Be careful around dressers. Yay, good. Thank you. Anyone else? Okay. They're still praying. Lots of people still praying. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Good. How are you feeling?
The pain's not as bad.
Okay.
But I feel your hands were so hot. And it just felt like it was running down my legs.
Mm-hmm. Good.
It's so weird for me.
Yeah. So. Weird means supernatural.
Is that what it is?
Yes. Yeah, that was the Lord just touching you and strengthening your legs. So we thank you, Lord. We bless what you're doing. We ask you to just continue the work. Careful. Do you need to sit?
Yes.
Okay. Strengthen our legs, Lord. We thank you. We bless what you're doing right now in Jesus' name. We ask you to accelerate it and to increase it. We thank you, Lord. We thank you. Releasing the fire to heal and to burn away everything that doesn't belong and to restore creative miracle, God. I ask for creative miracle with cartilage and ligaments and tendons. We thank you, Lord. Yeah, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Do you need to sit?
Mm-hmm.
You sure? Okay. Okay. Thank you, Lord.
Oh, my
God. All right. You're walking.
Thank you, Lord.
Oh, yay. Thank you, Jesus. Okay. Just increase strength, Lord, as she goes. Careful. Take your time. Thank you, Lord. Strengthen her as she goes. Thank you, Lord. All right. Y'all are welcome to keep praying for a little while. Yeah, I'll definitely pray. I just wanted to bless you guys and release you, and we will just see you next time.